This is Fresh Air, and now it's time for some rock and roll history. In 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first black man to play Major League Baseball. A year later, the Orioles, a black singing group from Baltimore, helped integrate a largely white American institution, the pop charts. Fresh Air's rock and roll historian Ed Ward has the story.
Courage. It's a word you don't hear much around rock and roll these days. I don't think it's anybody's fault, just a sign that the music isn't as scary or radical as it once was. Because while the music today has problems to overcome, censorship to name one, American society isn't at all like it was when rock and roll was young. Consider the color barrier. In 1948, the freedom that black people had enjoyed in this country working at defense jobs during the war and earning good pay had left its mark. It was still too early to say that things were changing, but they were. Still, it took people of courage to make that change, and two pioneers of rock and roll named Erlington Tillman and Deborah Chesler were definitely courageous people. Tillman was a 23-year-old black man who used the name Sonny Till when he performed with his singing group, the Vibronaires. Chesler was white, Jewish, and a salesgirl in a Baltimore department store and was not quite out of her teens. Since most rock and roll historians pay more attention to the stars than to the people behind the scenes, I can't tell you how Deborah Chesler got hooked up with the Vibronaires or what it was about them that got her excited enough to devote herself to them the way that she did, but I do know a couple of things. The first thing Chesler did was to convince the group to change its name to the Orioles. The next thing she did was to drive them to New York, where she got them a spot on the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scouts program. They lost, but they got to play at the mecca of black entertainment, Harlem's Apollo Theater. She also wrote them a bunch of songs, and the first one, It's Too Soon to Know, came out on a tiny label called It's a Natural.
Does she love me? It's too soon to know. Can I believe her when she tells me so? Is she foolish? Is it all a game? Am I the fire or just another player? Oh, once I did love would break my heart. She may be just acting and playing a part. If she don't love me, let her tell me so. I can't hold her if she wants to go. Though I'll cry when she's gone, I won't die. I'll live on if it's so. It's too soon, way too soon.
In its first week out, it sold 86,000 copies, making the Orioles the first modern black harmony group to enter the pop charts, not just what was then called the Harlem Hit Parade. Black and white artists tried recording versions of the song, but the Orioles triumphed. The next year, they were back with another of Chesler's songs, Tell Me So. And in 1953, they scored their biggest hit with Crying in the Chapel, a song Elvis Presley later recorded.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy.
But by then, the Orioles had made their biggest contribution to American popular music. They'd accustomed pop fans to black harmony group singing and opened the doors for not only their fellow bird groups, the Swallows, the Flamingos, the Robins, but for even rougher, stronger, more gospel-like singing. Of course, they were perfectly capable of that themselves, as this 1951 recording, Waiting, makes clear.
Lonesome like the man in the moon. Yes,
Am I crazy or did Sonny Till shout rock and roll during that sax solo? Sonny Till died in 1981, and although I've tried, I can't find out what happened to Deborah Chesler. They didn't break pop music's color barrier alone, of course, but what they did do certainly took a lot of courage.
Our rock and roll historian, Ed Ward, is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He also writes for the Austin Chronicle.